Welcome to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up in the next hour in our Understanding the Scriptures segment, Dave and Tom will continue their discussion of the doctrine of salvation, with our focus this week on the question, can we find the tree of life? In Religion in the News, Brigitte Bardot is found guilty of hate speech. We'll look at that topic. And in this week's Contending for the Faith segment, we'll examine the question, would Jesus put an end to state executions? We hope you can stay tuned. Our ministry, the Berean Call, offers many teaching materials, including books, tracts, audio and videotapes, and copies of our weekly broadcast on tape or compact disc. You may also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, the Berean Call, which we offer free of charge. We'll let you know how to order later in the program. Now, this week's cover article, with installment number 8 of their series, An Urgent Call to a Serious Faith. Here are Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. We're going through Dave Hunt's book, An Urgent Call to a Serious Faith. Not too quickly, I might add, because it's loaded with thought-provoking teachings which have this singular purpose. It encourages its readers to abide in God's Word, His truth. Chapter 5, the chapter we're discussing today, is entitled Shortcut to Truth, and the shortcut is to go directly to the Bible rather than exploring all the religious beliefs that mankind has generated. Obviously, that has more to do with practicality than pride. But Dave, you state more than once in very specific terms that the Bible is opposed to all religions. I quote, "Biblical Christianity does not seek accommodation, much less partnership, with world religions. It seeks their overthrow as hopelessly false and destructive to mankind. In fact, Christianity, which is based upon the Bible, cannot even be counted among the religions of the world."
Well, that's not surprising. That's what the Bible says.
Well, it would surprise some people out there.
Yeah, it definitely would surprise some people. We don't dialogue. There's no discussion. God has spoken. You don't negotiate with God. And all through the Old Testament, for example, God reveals himself as the one true God. Mm-hmm. Beside me, there is no God. He points out that there are false gods. The gods of the nations are idols. And Isaiah even mocks them, the idols that they make. In the New Testament, of course, Jesus claims to be God. He is the Savior. He became a man through the virgin birth. And he very clearly says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He says he's the one who came to seek and to save the lost and to die for their sins. Nobody else did that. Buddha never made such claims. Muhammad never made such claims. And all through the Old Testament, we have literally hundreds of prophecies of the Messiah. Remember, John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus, asking him, "Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another?" Well, someone was to come. The Old Testament prophets promised the coming of the Messiah and laid it out very clearly as to who he would be, when he would come, where he would be born, everything that would happen to him. And Jesus fulfilled all this in his life, death, and resurrection. He's the only Savior. This is the only way. This is the only word from God. So we don't discuss with others. If you weren't certain, there'd be no point in discussing, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't have a message from God and we can't prove it and it is not understandable, I think we've gone over this a number of times in this program, but probably bears repeating.
That's what the program's about.
Yeah. If we don't have a message from God that we can prove is literally from God and is definite, clear, understandable to the ordinary person, then there's no point in you and me sitting here, "Tom, what do you think about this?" And I say, "Well, I think this." And this is what the Jesus Seminar does, for example. They sit around and vote with colored beads, well, whether they think Jesus said this or whether he didn't say that or did do this or not. They even talk about, the seminary professors talk about, the Bible has myths, but we want to retain the myths because there's some a truth behind them. I'm not interested in studying myths. Either the Bible is true or it's false. Now, if the Bible is true, then all other religions are false. There's no accommodation with them. There's no partnership that we can make with them.
Dave, that's not what we're hearing today, and that's why we almost have to bend over backwards to explain these right. things to people, because you know, right away we come off as being intolerant, because they say, well, that's not what we're hearing from other Christian leaders and for lots of people who are out there who are trying to bring us all together and develop a kind of a all is one ecumenical thrust here.
Tom, it doesn't matter what we're hearing, of course, obviously.
Yeah.
We hear all kinds of things. It's just a matter of simple logic. Our program is called Search the Scriptures Daily. But we also have to think. We have to use our minds. God gave us our minds and our reason. And it doesn't make any sense. If we don't have a revelation from God and we can't know it, what is the point of discussing? There is no point at all. Well, you're going to come up with your idea. Somebody else will come up with his idea. This is what seminaries, unfortunately, are all about. I was just reading a bit about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's very highly regarded because he opposed Hitler.
Hitler, right. Was involved, people believe, in the assassination attempt.
Yes, and they recently broadcast on PBS across the country a movie made about him, which won a prize over somewhere in France as the best TV special or something like that. So he's very highly regarded. Not only that, he's highly regarded by evangelical leaders who quote him and praise him and so forth. The man didn't believe that Jesus is God. He didn't believe in the divinity of Christ, didn't believe in the virgin birth, didn't believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in salvation. From one of his famous books, The Cost of Discipleship, and prison letters, you know. I mean, here was a man who was in prison. He was suffering for his faith. But what was the faith? It was not a biblical faith. It was ideas that he came up with. He went along with Bultmann. I don't know if even our listeners would remember him, right, demythologizing the Bible. So, look, he's got his ideas. Somebody else has their ideas. We have liberal seminaries, and we have books. It's incredible. Books are being written by professors and so-called biblical scholars, but they don't believe the Bible. Now, if the Bible isn't true, what's the point of discussing it? Oh, well, we need to reinvent Christianity. We didn't invent Christianity in the first place. We can't reinvent it. And if this is something that we invent, forget it. Shut the whole thing down. Shut down all the churches and all the seminaries. And let's just go on about our lives if we cannot know for sure. And, of course, that's how we begin this book. You better know for sure when you take a step out into eternity when we come to die. So, Tom, the Bible claims to be God's Word. I think you mentioned it in the last program. Over 50 times, Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying." Now, he's either lying or he's telling the truth. And we can prove absolutely the consistency of the Bible, the fulfillment of the prophecies. The New Testament claims to be written by eyewitnesses.
Right.
John says, that which we've seen, we've heard, we've handled, our eyes have looked upon the word of life. Peter says, we were eyewitnesses to these things. And now some of these people say, well, it was written centuries later, you know, and they put that. Wait a minute. If it was written centuries later and they put that in there, they are liars. And I don't care to have any time spent with them and even discussing the thing. It is either true or it is false.
Right. Dave, Psalm 119, it's all about God's word being
right.
true. It's his word, his scriptures. In one verse, it says it's true from beginning to end. The entirety of thy word is true.
Absolutely.
Jesus, in his words, his prayer was in John 17:17-19, to sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You said last week that if this isn't God's word, his revelation to us, and it can't be trusted, then we just pack it in.
That's right. Shut down the seminary.
Right.
We might as well discuss the fables of Aesop the slave, or the nursery rhymes, you know, that I learned as a little child coming out of England. There's no point in it. But now, the Bible is true. We know that it is true. We can prove that it is true. We've talked about that in the past.
But let's get on with that. One of the assertions we've been making over the last few weeks is that the Bible bears the unmistakable stamp of truth in many verifiable ways.
Right.
And that separates the Bible from every other book considered by religious groups to be sacred. The Quran, for example, which was written more than 2,000 years after the earliest books in the Bible, contains numerous unscientific statements. Dave, those who are listening who have an affinity for the Quran would say, well, they can't say that. Well, again, we're setting up the Bible. We're presenting the Bible and saying, let's see if the claims that it makes can be verified. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the Bible, and we have been, and we will over the weeks ahead. But let's look at some of the other books that claim to be sacred. Certainly the Quran claims to be the words of Allah given through Muhammad.
Well, Gabriel, the angel,
right,
speaking to him. Well, Tom, people shouldn't be offended if there are any Muslims listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of fact. Factuality, historical accuracy, scientific accuracy. For example, the Quran says that God put the mountains on the earth in order. Well, let me give you a quote out of the Quran. First of all, it says that the sun sets in a slimy well. And Muhammad said this. He was asked, well, let me quote from the Kashaf. This is by one of the top Islamic scholars, Zamakhshari. He's telling what happened. This is from the Hadith, from the tradition, which Islam says is as important as the Quran. You can't understand the Quran without the Hadith. The
tradition. Very similar to what Catholics would say, that their views are based on the Bible plus tradition.
Exactly. So here's what he says. Abu Dhar, that was one of Muhammad's close companions, was with Muhammad during the sunset. Muhammad asked him, "Do you know, O Abu Dhar, where this sets?" He answered, "God and his apostle know better." Muhammad said, "It sets in a spring of slimy water." That's the third edition, volume 2, page 743. That's the 1987 edition. Now, here is from the Quran itself. This is Surah 18:86. When he reached the setting place of the sun, he found it setting in a muddy spring and found a people thereabout. By the way, it doesn't tell you in this particular verse here exactly, but go back and read the context. This is Alexander the Great who found the sun had set in this slimy pool, muddy pool. Now, that's not scientific. I mean, we don't have to argue that. The phenomena of thunder and lightning, for example, are explained in the Quran. Well, there are a couple of angels, one of them named Thunder, one of them named Lightning. Well, let me read from the Hadith again. Baydawi, this is one of the top Islamic scholars. There is a chapter in the Quran about the thunder, an entire chapter. And he's discussing verse 13 of this chapter. And he says, Ibn Abbas asked the apostle of God about the thunder. He told him, quote, "It is an angel who is in charge of the cloud, who carries with him swindles of fire by which he drives the clouds. The thunder is an angel, and the lightning is from his fire," and so forth. The earth, the Quran says, is flat. It's not around, as the Bible says. Well, he says, this is the Quran, Surah 21, verse 31, God supposedly speaking, we, and I don't know why God uses we, but because Allah is a single individual. Mm-hmm. "We have placed in the earth firm hills, lest it quake so as not to sway and hurt people. Well, I mean, there are other unscientific statements.
Let me pick up on that. There are a number of verses in the Quran that says that Allah cast mountains down to the earth like tent pegs to keep it from shaking.
Right.
So there's a statement in terms of application with regard to the makeup of the earth. But ask any geologist. They say no. Certainly there are folds in mountain ranges, but they were created by earthquakes, and they don't work against the stability, but they add to the destabilization.
And they were formed, they weren't thrown down onto the earth, but from the earth rising up.
Right. Dave, certainly some people would say, well, these are just metaphors, this is just symbolic language. No, in many cases, these are explanations of how something came about or what is behind a phenomenon that we see.
Yeah, furthermore, Tom, the Islamic scholars today take them very seriously. Mm-hmm. They've analyzed what Muhammad said. They've analyzed the Quran. You cannot get away from it, and they stand by it. But it simply is not true. It's not scientific.
Mm-hmm. So the point here is we're looking at a sacred book of the Muslims, the Quran. Certainly, they can take any perspective that they want in terms of it being holy to them and important to them. But our challenge here is, as people would challenge the Bible, are the statements that are being made statements that you would expect to come from the creator of the universe?
No, they're not. There are all kinds of historical errors in the Quran. For example, the Quran says it was a Samaritan who formed the golden calf. But wait a minute, the Samaritans didn't even exist until about 1,000 years later. The Quran contradicts the Bible on many events that are very factually established by historians. I mean, we know when Mary lived, we know where she gave birth to Jesus, but the Quran confuses Mary with Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron. The Quran has the mother of Moses putting Moses in the river.
Mm-hmm.
The Quran has the wife of Pharaoh, not his daughter, finding the baby Moses and so forth. The Quran says that one of Noah's sons, named Sam, refused to go into the ark and was drowned. The Quran says Jesus did not die on the cross, that God put a likeness of Jesus on another disciple, and he died in Christ's place. Instead of Christ dying in our place, someone died in his place. Christ was taken to heaven without dying and must come back to this earth and die again. And in fact, some of the Islamic scholars say it was Judas upon whom this likeness was placed, and he was crucified.
David, let me interject this. Again, for people out there who are, this is upsetting them, a simple point here is both cannot be true, where both books offer differing views, and mm-hmm. they're not just different perspectives. These are clearly statements that one contradicting the other. They both cannot be true, and that's what we're asking people to consider here. Is the Quran true? If it is, then you have to throw the Bible out. If the Bible is true and it rejects ideas and views that come from the Quran, you have to take the Bible, if you're interested in truth, over this particular book, the Quran.
You cannot fault the Bible. You cannot bring up points in the Bible like we're bringing up in the Quran. Now, the Quran contradicts itself. For example, Surah 54, 49, 50 says that Allah, quote, created everything as the twinkling of an eye. But according to Surah 41, 9 and 12, Allah, quote, created the earth in 2 days and 7 heavens in 2 days. But verse 10 adds to the confusion by saying Allah, quote, blessed it, the earth, and measured therein its sustenance in 4 days. But then Surah 754, 10:4, 32:4 say, quote, lo, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then Surah 32:5 explains a day is actually 1,000 years. But Surah 74 says a day with Allah is 50,000 years. I mean, I can go on. There are so many contradictions And you cannot explain them away. Now, the Quran also is ambivalent in its attitude toward the Bible. Now, in the beginning, early in the Quran, Surah 348, for example, it said that he, Allah, will teach him, Jesus, the scripture and wisdom, and the Torah and the gospel. In Surah 544, Allah speaking says, quote, "We did reveal the Torah, wherein is guidance and a light." Surah 546 says, "We bestowed on him, Jesus, the gospel, wherein is a light." Surah 548 says, "We revealed the scripture with the truth, confirming whatever scripture was before it." So the Quran begins by seeming to accept the Bible. Mm-hmm. Then it contradicts the Bible later on, because at first Muhammad was very friendly with the Jews and with the Christians. In fact, he didn't read and write. So he got the information from these people. Some of it he got confused in his mind and forgot, and that's obvious in reading the Quran. But then when they refused to embrace him as the prophet of God, then he turned against them. He killed many Jews. One entire city wiped out all the Jewish males. And he then turned against the Bible. So later on, the Quran begins to contradict the Bible. Now, what does the Muslim scholar say about that today? Well, he says the Bible got changed. Mm-hmm. Between the early verses and the later verses. No, it didn't get changed, because we have manuscripts of the Bible before Muhammad and after Muhammad. They're exactly the same. So, look, the point that we're trying to make, and we're not trying to offend Muslims, we're not trying to offend anyone, we have to be factual. We began by saying, if the Bible is not God's word, throw it out. The Bible claims to be God's word, and it says all the others are false. Well, let's examine them. Let's be factual about this. There's no point in saying, well, can't we all get along with one another? It's like you say 5 plus 5 is 20, and I say 5 plus 5 is 10, and you say, well, can't we get along with one another? We have to go by facts. We have to go by history. We have to go by truth. The Bible is the truth. Jesus is the truth.
Dave, and as far as getting along, we have a heart. I hope people understand that. Our heart is for truth, for, as you've said over and over again, what God wants, what he says. And we're not setting ourselves up as the ones who are dictating these things. All we're doing is pointing to God's word. Those out there who have the same objections that the Muslim scholars have, or whoever there might be that object to God's word, check it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you said it to me very well on the phone yesterday, I think it was. You said, look, if anybody has an argument, it is not with us. It's with the Bible.
Dave, in the programs ahead, we're going to continue this. We've address some things with regard to the Quran, but we're going to be, I hope, equally tough on the Bible itself. I mean, there are a lot of people who say there are myths, there are contradictions, there are inaccuracies, and we're going to look at some of those and see if that's the case. We're also going to look at other sacred books, from the Bhagavad Gita to the Book of Mormon, particularly those books in which the people who are promoting them say that they are even superior to the Word of God. Now, there's a challenge we have to respond to, and we're going to do that in the weeks ahead.